Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Praise God forevermore. Let me share briefly what God has laid on my heart. Open your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 is the last book of the Bible. And we are going to read from verse number 7 through 11. Are you there? Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7 to 11. Spirit of the living God. Are you there? Okay, the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts that no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word. I have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and they are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hours of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Verse number 11, I want us to read it together. He said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Amen. I'd like to share with us briefly on what I titled, "I Know Your Works." I know your works. You know, the knowledge of God that you and I have forms the foundation of our walk with God. It forms the foundation of our walk for God. I want you to take note of my words. There are two dimensions of our walk with God. Your personal walk, W-A-L-K, your walk with God is the basis of your walk for God. However, those two dimensions of our operation as Christian is rooted in the knowledge of God that you have. As a matter of fact, to survive on this side of eternity, you need three knowledge. How many knowledge? Three knowledge. You need the knowledge of God. You need the knowledge of the devil. And you need the knowledge of yourself to know who you are. Those three knowledge will deliver you from some things. Number one, if you have the knowledge of God to some measure, you will not be deceived by the charlatans who are today in ministry. And you will not be carried away by any strange of doctrines. Are you listening to me? Now, you need the knowledge of the devil so that you know where the devil belongs and how it is under your feet. You know, the Bible says that Satan, one of the weapons of Satan is to instill fears in people's hearts. Just like Apostle told us this morning. And they say fear kills many people than even death itself. But if you have the knowledge of the devil, you will not be afraid of what other people are afraid of. Because, you know, in our own generation and in this dispensation, you know, some denominations have exalted Satan beyond measure. When this is Sunday morning now, when you go to some churches, if you hear what they are saying and the kind of prayer they are praying, they are more conscious of the presence of the devil than God itself. Meanwhile, the devil is not that powerful. It is people that attributed the power to him. As a matter of fact, if you know the word of God and you know what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf, you will know that he has been stripped of his power. The Bible says when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he left captivity captive. He appeared in Hades, the headquarters of Satan. And they were having party that day. They felt that they have done their worst. They have killed the Lord of glory. They wanted to stop his movement. That was the reason why they killed him. But they didn't know that the cross is a mystery. That is death. It's an entrance to life. So they were having party. And now, since Jesus rose from the dead, he was born as a human being. He left his glory in heaven to come and perform that sacrifice for our redemption. So when they were killing him as ordinary man, they thought that was his end. But on the third day, the scripture says that he rose from the dead. Mortality became immortality. So he appeared before them in Hades. And, you know, when he was coming, he was asking them, they lift up your head, oh, you gate, and be lifted up, you everlasting door, that the King of glory may come in. They say, who is the King of glory? As ignorant as they were, who is the King of glory? Because they didn't know that, you know, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. He filled all things by himself. Himself, he was not created by anything. He said, the King of glory is coming. So the natural barricade cannot hold him. He just appeared before Satan. He said, give me the keys. And that was the end of their party. So he has disarmed Satan. So the Bible says he made captivity captive. He arrested him and he led him in a procession to show the littleness of his power. So he now said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That same power is what he has delegated to us today. That's the power you have. That's the power I have. So you don't need to fear what they are fearing. If you are in Christ, you see, you have so much. We have so much. We have so rich inheritance in God. So we have entered a season in the history of the church that every believer must have a personal walk with God so that you will not be deceived. So that, you know, they will not confuse you. Amen? Are you still in church? This morning, the word of the Lord to us in this church is prophetic. He said, I know your works. I am conscious of your efforts. And, you know, but let me start by just saying a little bit about this God. Because you need that knowledge. Like I said, for example, God is holy. You know, we read it here now. He said, you know, he said the one that is holy. He said, this thing says, he who is holy. God is holy. He's not a frivolous person. He is a holy God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Exodus 15 verse 11, he said, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods of the earth? Who is like you, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders. You know, he does what he pleases. And nobody can ask him, what are you doing? He's a holy God. It's something that makes him to be different from other gods. He's in a class of his own. He cannot behold iniquity. That was the reason why when Jesus was hung on the cross and the sin of humanity was laid upon him, momentarily God take his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus had to cry. He said, my father, why have you forsaken me? Because God cannot look at him at that moment. He cannot be whole iniquity. So God is holy. Help me to tell your neighbor, God is holy. You are not saying as if you mean it. God is holy. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2, he said, no one is holy like our Lord. And for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Amen? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen? Everything in our world today belongs to him. The Bible says the earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. Listen to me. Nobody owns anything. I am telling you under God. You may not like it, but that's the truth. Nobody owns anything. You were born naked. The day your time on this path of eternity is up, you will go empty. I am telling you. You may not like it, but that's the truth. You know. I spoke on Tuesday at a service of Song of a Funeral, and it was on. I mean, the scripture that God gave me was Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He said, there is a time for everything under the sun. Verse 2 is my test. He said, there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. I said, what kind of a test is that? And as I was meditating on that, it occurred to me that if you are born, death is imminent. You cannot choose otherwise. It was a dangerous message. Even me, myself, that was preparing it, my heart skipped. He said, because I am already here. I cannot say I am not. If you are born, one day you will die. In Jesus' name. Since you are here, you are already born. You cannot choose otherwise. Amen? Are you listening to me? It's not something that people like to hear. That was the reason why the Bible said it is good to go to where they are having fodder, so that you will remember your own end. I said, all of you here, including me that I'm talking, it is a dangerous scripture. But that's the reality. I'm not the one that wrote it though. So the God of the Bible is holy. It's a holy God. Number two, God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. As a matter of fact, he is the one that started everything. And do you know that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created. So he was before the beginning began. And he is the one that will be when everything has ceased to exist. He has no ending. That is the reason why he is God. I am not talking about other gods. So I am talking about the God of the Bible. This God is eternal. Not only that, he is all powerful. That's the reason why we call him the Almighty. There is no power that can be compared with his own. If you know that, and that settles in your heart, you will know that there is no forces in hell that can destroy your destiny. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? No matter who is against you, you know, Jesus is the rock of offense. If he falls on you, you are in trouble. If you suddenly collided on him mistakenly, you are also in trouble equally. Whichever way it goes, you know that he will have the upper hand. So that's the reason why the Bible says, kill the son, kiss him, embrace him. There's no alternative. I wish people will know that. You see, there's no alternative. You better embrace him here. Because this is the only time you can settle account with him. When you close your eyes in death, that is judgment. There is no repentance in the grave. Oh my goodness. And it was a gathering. It's an interdenominational gathering. In fact, even when I finished, the priest, and I won't mention the name of that church, that sat beside me, said, I am afraid. I said, you know, the word of God is true, isn't it? The Bible says God is holy and God is true. Let me stop at that. I want to give you an assignment. Go and study more about God. It stabilizes you as a Christian. I am telling you, it gives you confidence that has no explanation. And you cannot be apologetic about it. Because through knowledge, the righteous shall be delivered. Other than that, all the charlatans in ministry today, they won't have customers. Because if the Bible says my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Not lack of prayer. Not lack of fasting. You know, and you know, some of us, we have come into God's kingdom with our traditional religious mindset. We compare the God of the Bible as the other lesser gods that our forefathers are worshiping. And we think this God is incapacitated. No, the God of the Bible is real. Help me to preach to your neighbor, the God of the Bible is real. One another characteristic of God is that God is unchangeable. You cannot add to him and you cannot remove from him. You are not the one that appoints him to his throne. Your view about who he is does not matter. Are you listening to me? If you think you are angry with God, it doesn't affect him. Your opinion about who God is does not change who he is. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, it said, "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he is not a man that he should relent." He doesn't change his mind like human beings. When he says something, he stands by it. Even when what he says is not in existence, by the release of that word, the creative force of God goes into existence to make that thing happen. That is the reason why we can trust the word of God. We can bank our life on this. The Bible says they have tried the word of God 7 times in the oven of life, and they have found it to be true. Imagine the Bible written over hundreds of thousands of years apart by different vessels, yet they don't contradict because it's the same author that works in the lives of those who scribble it down. That's the reason why we can rely on him. It's unchangeable. God doesn't joke with his words. He says what he meant, and he meant what he says. We are the people that read meaning to his word today. You know, because some preacher will come and be telling you the Greek meaning of that verse is this. The Latin meaning of that verse is this. And they will be twisting scripture to draw revelation from what is not there. God doesn't joke with his words. He said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." Not only in heaven, even on earth, it is settled. You may not agree with him. It doesn't matter. His word is settled. That's the reason why the only option that we have is to agree with what he says in his word. The revealed word of God is here. Amen? Please, show your Bible. You know, I belong to the old school. Show your Bible. If it is an electronic one, show it. Say, "This is the word of God. It is the eternal word. It's true. It's real. It's applicable to any life. And if I believe it, I will see the manifestation of what God has promised." Amen to Jesus. You know, some of us who are old school, the reason why we like to still carry physical Bible, because it helps your faith. This one cannot, it can misbehave, but this one cannot. Amen. Praise God forever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you with me? You know, so let me go to the point I'm trying to make. The Bible says, "For I know your works." God is saying to this house, "I know your works. I know your efforts. I know that you have little strength." I want you to see that verse 8 is where I want to zero in. He said, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door." However, before verse 8, there is verse 7. Verse 7 says, "He who has the key of David." You know, God is holy. I think you understand that now. And God is true. Why is God true? Because he's God. He will not lie. God is not a man that repents. He doesn't change like human beings. When he says something, he stands by it. So because of that, we can bet our life on his word. You can develop your faith. You can rest your faith on what the word of God says. Are you listening to me? You know, the Bible talks about three things that abided in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, isn't it? Now hope, faith, and what? Love. Now, you see, we read scriptures, but you know, there is hope, but there's a living hope. There is faith, but there's a living faith. Many people know faith, but their faith is not living. That's the reason why it seems like it's a theory. There is love. Everybody knows that God is love, and he says we should love one another. But the issue is that for you to practicalize that, so now it must become a living love. Something not that you talk about, but that you do. Are you listening to me? A living love. So that is the reason why many people are confused. What is written for our admonition. Now, it is when you activate the word by doing it that you see the result. But unfortunately, most of us don't like to do. We like to talk about it. And like preacher, like myself now, every time you preach about it. But you see, that's the reason why, you see, people are deceived in our generation. For the fact that you are a man of God doesn't exclude you from obeying the scriptures. If you want to see the result, it doesn't exclude you. You want to see the result? You obey the word. Amen to Jesus. I remember several years ago in a place that I know, I don't want to mention the name, the man of God would preach about money. He will raise money. He will not give. He will not give. I know because I am the church administrator. So what are we preaching? The Bible says, when you hear the word, it's a mirror. He said, if you don't do it, you have not deceived anybody. Who are you deceiving? I hope you are deceiving somebody. It could have been better, but you are deceiving yourself. So when, after some years, those ministers don't measure up to their contemporaries, it seems as God is a liar. No. Let God be true and let every man be. It means you are not doing the word. You are not a practitioner of the word. You are a preacher. Anybody can preach, including an animal. You know that. He has done that in the Bible before. Eh? An animal talked to Balaam, isn't it? Yes, anybody can preach. Don't you see those who pass religious study without being a Christian? They know the letters. And the Bible says the letter killer is the spirit that gives life. Are you listening to me? So the knowledge of God stabilizes you as a Christian. Because he didn't promise us a problem life free. A life that is problem free. What he told us is that he has overcome on our behalf. That we should be of good cheer. So when challenges come, it baffles me that there are some people ticking out. When trials come, now what are we now talking in the church? What a joke, a killer and son. What is the purpose of going to service? God is not a frivolous person. He will not be wasting our life and our time if there is nothing here. Are you listening to me? Now, if your life is not being changed, it's because you have refused to embrace the reality of the demand that God's word places on you. You know, because every sermon you heard, a responsibility is placed on you to do the word. Because that word becomes a witness against you. But this word will not stand against you in the day of judgment. The knowledge of God. The Bible says, this God that is talking to this church, I'm talking to Lighthouse as an entity, and I'm talking to you as an individual. He said, he has the key of David. Are you listening to me? What is the key of David? He has the key of David. It's not, you know, and you know, when you compare scripture with scripture. I remember in Matthew chapter 16, The day Jesus was having discussion with his disciple and says, who did the men say I am? They were giving their opinion. He now said, you, who have been with me for this while, you yourself, who I am? Who am I to you? And Peter, that day, by the help of the Holy Spirit, he spoke. He said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Jesus said, flesh and blood, I've not revealed that to you. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Verse, I think verse 18 or verse 19 now. Okay, you are still, he says that, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Where is that verse? Who is on that console? You have to follow me. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Matthew 16, 18 or 19, isn't it? Okay. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God. So, Jesus spoke about the keys. You know, for you to have an entrance into a treasure house or even your house, as you are leaving for church this morning, you lock up your house, isn't it? Yeah? And in your house and in my house, there are many rooms, isn't it? And different rooms have different keys. So that's the reason why what Jesus gave to the disciple then was keys. But himself has a master key. If you read the passage we read, that verse said, he who has the key, not keys, of David. He has a key. There's a key that they call master key, even in the natural, isn't it? Okay, in our office, I have a bunch of keys that has a copy of all the keys that open any place. So if somebody is not around and they said that they has locked up the office, especially our store, said the person in charge is not around and people want to buy our materials, there's nothing anybody can do. But when I'm in the office and they tell me, I will just come with my bunch of keys, isn't it? And what was like a mountain to everybody, because they don't have the keys, I will just open. Amen? But that is natural. Now, think of the spiritual. The God of the Bible have the key that is a master key. It is called the key of what? I am going to come to that before I round up. But let me zero in on the essence of this message this morning. God said, I know your works. I know that you have little strength. I am mindful of the inputs that every one of you is doing towards the building of my house, towards the furtherance of my kingdom through the ministry of Lighthouse. Tell your neighbor, God is conscious of your input. No, help me to say it properly. You are helping me to preach. Why? Because there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 that talks about the fact that God is not unjust to forget the labor of our love, isn't it? And you remember, the Bible says God is true, is holy, and is just. For him to forget our input in his kingdom, that will make him unjust. And the God of the Bible is not like that. Please, are you listening to me? God will not forget our labor of love. If you do anything for the furtherance of God's kingdom on earth, hear me, God is mindful of your input. Whether before you get to Lighthouse, you have been in another church before, or you gave your life to Christ here, and you have been part of this vision, and you have invested your time, your treasure, your money in the furtherance of the gospel and ministry of Jesus through this house, I'm here to announce to you that the season of reward has come by the power of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus.
He said, I know your works. I know your works. Not only that, he said, see, I have set before you an open door. You know, when Jesus was here, when he was about to leave, he spoke to his disciple. You know, there was a day he preached one sermon, and they said that many people began to leave him. So he turned to the disciple and said, will you also go away? Because the God that we are talking about is not a forceful God. If he's a forceful God, he will have commanded everybody to be born again. And there won't be need to be ministering today. Everybody will be born again. There won't be need to be appealing to people because he has created us like himself. We have free will. You can choose between him and Satan. That's the essence of ministry. So, in Luke chapter 22, you see what happened in verse 28 to 30. Luke 22, verse 28.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,